Asia.
Myanmar's army. Armed and dangerous. The junta has suffered severe losses but remains powerful.
Ever since Myanmar's military junta seized power in a coup in 2021, hundreds of disparate resistance groups have been fighting back. Since late last year, the opposition has gained ground. The seizure on April 11th of Myawadi, an important trading town on the border with Thailand, looked like a turning point. Some analysts predicted that the junta would soon fall. But less than 2 weeks later, Myawadi was back in the hands of Zorchit II, a pro-military warlord. What would it take to topple the junta? Myanmar's borderlands appear to be particularly vulnerable. Local ethnic armed groups have seized territory in Shan State, next to China, and Chin State, next to India and Bangladesh. In western Rakhine State, the Arakan Army, an ethnic armed group, says it has captured at least 9 out of 17 townships, home to around 1 million people, making it the country's largest area not controlled by the government. The National Unity Government, or NUG, a shadow administration that claims to lead the resistance, says that revolutionary forces and the NUG now have control of over 60% of the country. But although the junta's control is weaker in Myanmar's ethnic border states, it still holds sway over many key areas, including the big cities. Three characteristics of the junta make it particularly hard to beat. The first is an obsession with control. Fear is pervasive throughout the army, says Xin Yor, a former captain in the army who served for 20 years before running away to join the resistance. It is almost impossible for soldiers to resign. Often the only way out is to be killed. The one exception is for relatives of high-ranking officers who may be able to request a transfer to departments such as customs or immigration. The families of soldiers live on military bases, in effect serving as hostages in case any frontline soldier considers defection. The army relies on online surveillance, phone taps, informers and plainclothes police to monitor civilians too. A second quality is the insularity of the armed forces. For decades, the Tarmado, as Myanmar's army is known, was the only institution in the country that offered social mobility and a promising career. That made its cohesion and stability attractive for many. It also has its own media outlets, banks, schools and hospitals. The military is a state within a state, says David Steinberg of Georgetown University in Washington. All the services it provides mean that soldiers and their families are insulated from the rest of society. That insularity was challenged when Myanmar opened up in the decade between 2011 and 2021, and the junta was officially replaced by civilian rule. Burmese people were able to connect to the world through the internet. The junta nonetheless maintained its power through a constitution that granted it authority over the government, control of key ministries, a quarter of all parliamentary seats, and veto power over constitutional amendments. The third advantage the junta has over the opposition is its relative wealth. The army's budget at $2.7 billion was a quarter of government's expenditure in 2023. Since the coup, this has enabled it to import at least $1 billion in arms, mostly from Russia and China, according to the United Nations. The junta has more and better weapons than we do, says Zor Mya of the Karen National Liberation Army, the armed wing of the resistance group that captured and then lost Myawadi last month. The junta also owns Myanmar's main conglomerates, Myanmar Economic Holdings Limited, or MEHL, and Myanmar Economic Corporation, or MEC. An American diplomatic cable from 2009 stated that MEHL and MEC are key components of the elaborate system of patronage the army uses to maintain power. Meanwhile, regional military commanders often cut deals with local businessmen and ethnic armed groups to profit from activities such as illegal logging and mining. Even so, the junta is not as powerful as it once was. In recent years, many young people have refused to join the army. Some soldiers have defected, although not in significant numbers. Others have been killed. The army now has around 130,000 troops, estimates Yemio Hain of the United States Institute of Peace, a think tank in Washington. In February, the junta announced a draft of men between the ages of 23 and 31. This was partly triggered by factions within the army that have criticised Mi Aung Hlaing, the army chief, for being too weak and indecisive, says Thomas Keane of the International Crisis Group, another think tank. Men have been banned from working abroad to prevent them avoiding conscription. Between 30,000 and 50,000 recruits have been drafted. Some hope for a leadership change in Naypyidaw, the capital. But even if there were a way to remove Mr. Min, the risk is he might be replaced by someone even more brutal. Meanwhile, speculation is growing that the junta may completely lose control of the borders with Bangladesh, China, India and Thailand before the end of the year. This could lead to even more desperate and brutal behaviour by the army, says the Karen National Liberation Army's Mr. Myar. Indeed, according to America's annual intelligence threat assessment in 2023, the army and the resistance increasingly see their conflict in existential terms, effectively precluding compromise.